It's good to see everybody this morning. We got a great way to start service today. I want to invite Alalawa to come on up. Alalawa was baptized into Christ this past week. Who studied with you?
Tyson and Matt.
Who?
Tyson and Matt.
Who?
Tyson and Matt.
Tyson and Matt. I was hearing Tyson. I was like, do we have some college guy I don't know? Titan and Matt. Okay. Cool. You guys give a wave. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We don't have any Deep Convictions books because we ran out, but we will order some, and we will give you one. And that's going to be some good material to go through. I'm looking forward to having you around, buddy. This guy has a passion for ministry. That's one of his dreams in life and what he wants to do for life. And so he's entered into this relationship with the Lord, jumping in with both feet. So we're really excited about you, bud. Glad you're here, bud.
Appreciate it.
Also want to welcome Ivy up. Ivy was baptized into Christ this past week. And who studied with you?
Aaliyah and Katie.
Aaliyah and Katie. All right. Aaliyah and Katie. Right on. Welcome. We're glad, again, we got the Deep Convictions book we're going to give you, and they'll continue working with you. But we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Welcome. Last week was Easter. We had a good time at the park. I want to thank everybody that helped make that event happen for us. And Jake introduced what we're going to be covering the next few weeks. We're introducing a series on hope. Whenever we talk about Easter, we talk about the resurrection of Jesus. And all of us look to the resurrection of Jesus. You know, if we just had the cross, if that's all we had was the cross and there was no resurrection, the Bible would be a pretty sad story. But the fact that we have a Savior who not only suffered and died for us, but then rose from the dead as one who was a model for what we all have to experience and look forward to in life, we have something really to look forward to no matter what we're going through. And so I got a verse. It's not on your notes, which, by the way, there's some notes in your bulletin. If you want to pull those out, they're going to have all the scriptures and everything, for the most part, we're going to cover today on there, and it'll help you follow along with the lesson. But there's a passage of scripture I would like you to make a note of, because as we're going through this series, I think this would be a really good memory verse, maybe just for all of us to kind of have in our hearts as we're thinking about some of these things. And it's Romans 8:28. Can anybody in here quote Romans 8:28? Does anybody know what that says? Just off the top of your head? What's that? And we know that in all things. Okay, yes. There you go. All right. In the NIV, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's what it says in the NIV. Guys, that's a truth. And it doesn't matter what life throws at us. I know many of us in here have experienced suffering. Many of us in here are experiencing suffering. Many of us in here are going to experience suffering. All of us are touched by this at some point in our life, and it's so easy just to throw up your hands and give up. It's so easy to lose hope. But when we put our faith in Jesus, when we're disciples of Jesus, we serve a God who didn't just die on a cross, he rose from the dead. And he says, we have that to look forward to, and you've got this eternity to look forward to, and the worst thing this life can do to you is kill you. And then death doesn't win. It all works out as long as we put our faith in him. And if we want to survive as disciples, we've got to become people who aren't simply willing to serve God when things are good. We can't be that way because things aren't always going to be good. We're going to go through some rough times. And so the question, just in this first volley that we're throwing out in this series that we're going to address, is how can I maintain hope when I'm hurting? What do you guys think of when I say the word hope? Often when we think of hope, we just think of there's something maybe in the future that might happen. We need to wrap our minds, though, whenever we see this word that shows up in the Bible, it's used a little bit differently in the Bible. It doesn't mean we hope for something that might happen. Whenever the Bible says the word hope, what it's talking about is a confident expectation. Like, there's not a chance this isn't going to happen. This is going to happen. I'm confident in that. When I say hope, you say confident expectation. Hope?
Confident.
Okay, when I say confident expectation, you say hope. Confident expectation.
Hope.
Hope? Confident expectation.
Hope.
Okay, some of you are getting it, some of you aren't. Let's all get on the same page here, guys. Hope.
Confident expectation.
All right. That's what it is. Whenever the Bible uses the word hope, it's saying this is going to happen. I hope Jesus comes back someday. Not he might. He's going to. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope that I have a resurrection and victory over death someday. Maybe that's going to happen. No, that's definitely going to happen. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to happen in my future. That's what hope is. Whenever you're experiencing suffering, whenever you're in the middle of it, you're in the middle of grief, you're in the middle of dealing with this horrible situation where your life is just going off the rails, because that's when you need hope. That's when you need not only this might work out, God might work this for my good. No, this is going to work out for my good. That's what Romans 8:28 says. All things work together for the good of those who love God. When you're in the middle of the struggle, you got to say, do I love God? Because that's what it hinges on. This is going to work out for good. I can't see it right now. I don't understand how this is going to work out for good. I can't see any good in this situation. But I got hope. I know God is good. I know God loves me. I know God has the best in mind for me. I can't see it right now, but I'm going to trust that he does. Right? That's hope. And that's a gift. So the question in this lesson is, how can I maintain hope when I'm hurting? How can I maintain hope when I'm in the middle of it and I can't see a way out? How can I maintain hope in the middle of that? Number one, I can confidently expect, or that is hope, to accomplish this if, number one, I recognize that hurt is an unavoidable part of my life. I recognize that hurt is an unavoidable part of life. Guys, we must never fall into the trap of believing when I follow Jesus, everything is going to be right. Everything is going to go well. It's not true. It's not true. The original recipients of the Hebrew letter are who, we won't look at Hebrews today, because Hebrews is a good example where they were given this epistle, this word of from the Lord for them, because they were in the middle of experiencing this horrible situation. And we don't know exactly what was going on. We know there was some kind of persecution. There was some kind, I don't know if it was the government or if it was the Jews, but there was some kind of persecution being wrought out on these people where they were in the middle of it, guys, and they couldn't see a way out. And so the writer of Hebrews gives them this word from the Lord where he's pointing them back to how God has worked throughout their history. But then he's taking their Jewish history, because these were Jews that were getting this letter, and he's saying, here's how God worked through history, but here's how much better Jesus is. And here's how much hope you have because of your relationship with Jesus. Here's what you have to look forward to. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw your hands up and walk away. It's all going to work out for the good of those that love God. That's the message of Hebrews. And so we're going to look at that today as we try to wrap our minds around, because God's word for them is also God's word for us, right? Amen. The Bible's still relevant today. And so this same word that was good for them is going to be good for us too. And so looking at this in Hebrews 11, you know, Hebrews 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. At the end, he gets down through talking about all these biblical characters and the things they did for the Lord. Then he gets down to the end. He says, man, there's too many to even list here, but here's kind of a block of them I'm just going to talk about in general. That's what we're going to read here. It says, others trusted God and were tortured. Circle that. Others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than to turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about in the skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. He goes through, and man, this first little intro here, I want you to see. They trusted God, and what happened? It says they trusted God and were tortured. Is that counterintuitive? Wouldn't you think when you trust God, everything's going to turn out to be great? When you trust God, God's going to mitigate those problems. He's going to take those problems away. You're not going to be in that darkness. That's not what happened to these folks, man. They put their faith in the Lord, and then life got hard. All of a sudden, life got hard. They trusted God and were tortured. These believers had faith in God and pain. From a biblical standpoint, though, that's normal. That's one of the things that just stands out in Hebrews over and over, is this is normal. You start looking at these people's lives. This is normal. Look at the back of the Apostle Paul and how it looked at the end of his life. That was his life. That was normal. All the scars he had from the beatings he took. And then notice this next verse. You know, this normal doesn't mean that God somehow dropped the ball or wasn't working in these people's lives. We need to understand that. Sometimes I think when we get involved in pain and grief, we can feel like, man, God has abandoned me. That's not what it means. And look at this in the life of Jesus. This is from the Voice translations, Acts 3:18. God was at work in all this. This is talking about the work of Jesus on the cross and the suffering of Jesus. God was at work in all of that, fulfilling what he had predicted through the prophets that the anointed one, that's talking about Jesus, would suffer. Guys, Jesus himself suffered. You know this. This is one of those things we repeat so much it can go in one ear and out the other. We may not make the application to ourselves. Guys, Jesus himself suffered. Jesus himself died on a cross. That's another one of those phrases that we throw out there that just goes in one ear and out the other because it gets repeated so much. You guys understand what we're saying when we say Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You go study the life of Christ and the days leading up to his crucifixion and the things that happened to him where he's made an outcast by his own people, his own Jewish people. They make him an outcast. They beat him. They call him names. They imprison him overnight illegally in a cell. They give him a trial at night, which was illegal to do. And they sentence him to die, only they don't have the power to carry it out. So the way they carry it out is they then drag him before the Roman governor, Pilate, and they bring false accusations against him and try to get Pilate to execute him. Only Pilate doesn't see anything wrong with the guy. It's like, hey, this sounds like a dispute you guys need to handle yourselves. Let your laws work it out. And the people threaten to riot. Can you imagine how that emotionally would have felt for Jesus? As one who grew up in this community, who had seen these same people over and over, year after year, at every holiday in Jerusalem that he would have gone to, that they would have been at. And suddenly these people that he's known his entire life are rejecting him. Just emotionally, that's horrible, guys. But then the physical suffering, Pilate has him flogged. They take him in a flogging and they have a post. Just imagine that this speaker stand right here is the post. And they would tie your hands up at the top of this post. They would tie you tight and then they would pull you out. And then they would take your legs and they would tie you to another anchor down here where the skin is tight against the back and against the bone. And then they would have a professional Roman soldier whose job it was to make it hurt as bad as possible. Take a scourge, a cat of nine tails, which is a handle with nine leather straps attached to it. That has metal hooks on the end or broken glass on the end or big, heavy iron balls. And then he would whack you with that thing. And those hooks would stick in the skin or that sharp shard of metal or glass would stick in the skin. And that heavy iron ball would whack down on him. And it would tenderize, just like a meat hammer hitting a steak, would tenderize the muscle. And man, they would stick that in your back and then they would rip it out. Where there would be shards of flesh and chunks of flesh and ligaments and bones. Sometimes, guys, people would die just from the flogging. They would beat you until you looked unrecognizable. And then they did that to him and took him into the barracks with the soldiers. And he's already been up all night. He's already passing in and out of consciousness because of the beatings he'd already taken and the blood loss now. And then they wrap a robe around his matted back It's sticking to them because of all the blood. And then they take a crown of thorns that has thorns on it about this thick, and they put it on top of his head. Then they get a stick and beat it down into his scalp. And then they start punching him and spitting on him and kicking him and saying, prophesy, who did that to you? Who did that to you? Prophesy, tell us who it was. You're the king of the Jews. You're this great prophet. And they're mocking him. And then they take him out, and he's already so out of gas that he can't stay conscious. They tried to put that crossbar on him to make him carry it up the hill to Golgotha. It's about a 100-pound piece of wood they would have laid on his back. He didn't have enough gas in the tank to carry it. They have to get another guy to help him up the hill. And they get him all the way up to the hill, and his mom is there. His friends have all left. His mom is there, and his best friend is with her. The emotional pain. You're there suffering that way. You know you're going to die, and your mom is watching, weeping. And they take him up on top of that hill. They nail him hand and foot to that cross. They would have put nails probably through his wrist right here and tied him up there hand and foot. They would have put a single nail through his foot and ankle down at the bottom. They would have made it where he slouched. Then they dig a hole. They pick that cross up. His body is racked in pain as it's going up, and then it's racked in pain again as they drop it in that hole. And then they nail a sign above his head that says, King of the Jews, to mock him further. And over time, guys, as he slouches there, his muscles go into a spasm in his chest to the point that he can't get a breath. It's pushing down on him so hard. And so the only way he can get a breath is to painfully push up on those nails. And then he slumps down till it happens again. And that cycle's repeated as he's hanging there. And he's hanging there. And eventually he gives up his spirit and dies. That's pain. That's horrible. And that's the cross, guys. That was horrible. But there was pain for Jesus leading up to that too. All the rejection that he had to suffer. All the people's lives that were wrecked around him that he tried to help, and they wouldn't respond the right way. They were ungodly. The Bible says he was familiar with pain. He was familiar with suffering. He was a man of suffering, full of constant sorrow. That's what it says in Isaiah 53. That's his life. He was sad a lot of his life at what was going on around him. But that's Jesus. And the Bible teaches it was God's plan for Jesus to come into this world and to suffer like that. And you got to ask why. Why in the world? Guys, I think it's because God needed us to understand that he understands. And not just that he understands, but that he's willing to go and suffer with us. We've got a God who sympathizes and who cares and who understands because he's been there. Not just because he knows it as a concept. He has been there, and he's with you now in your suffering. He's alongside you, and he's with you. And let me tell you the good news, guys. He's got you. He's got you. God was at work in this. It says in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Guys, you need to expect this. When you suffer, when you go through the pits of hell in this life, you need to say, hey, man, this is life. And you need to understand that you're not alone. Everybody is going to endure that because this world we are in is horribly broken. All of us are going to be touched. It might look different for others. There is not a single person that is going to go through life without a bunch of scars. Period. And if anybody puts out the aura that they are that person, they're a liar. Don't believe them. They're lying. Everybody is going to be touched by suffering. 100%. But what we do with it, guys, makes all the difference. The way we handle it. Secondly, I can maintain confident expectation as I'm hurting when, number two, I realize that God can get me through my suffering. God can get me through my suffering. I've got to remember God has the power to get me through this. And if you just stopped at that last verse that we read in the Hebrews 11, verse 39, honestly, this block of scripture would be bothersome. I'm going to read it again, though, because it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. It says, "And all these, though commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised." Then verse 40, "because God had provided something better for us, so that only with us would they reach perfection." This is talking about those heroes of the Old Testament. They didn't know about Jesus back then. But what the Hebrew writer is saying, you guys are enduring a trial just like they endured a trial, but you guys should have even more confident expectation of good things because you know who Jesus is. He was still yet to come with them. They're going to get taken care of by the same power that's going to take care of you, which is Jesus. That's the point here. Guys, we've got hope in Him. And in 12:1, it says, "So since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before," you guys have heard that idea, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We need to remember as we go through suffering in our life, you know, sometimes we can disconnect and forget there's a spiritual reality that we can't see. But what the Bible teaches, man, there's all of these people who have been faithful to Jesus that are sitting here watching like, man, I know what they're going through. I understand. They need to stay faithful. They need to stay committed. They need to stay leaning into their relationship to Jesus. It's all going to work out. Everything works together for good for those who love God. They need to keep loving God. I kept loving God. I'm here with God. I'm in eternity with God. They need to keep loving. You need to remember, guys, we've got all these who have gone before us who have suffered just like we're suffering. What you're experiencing right now has been experienced over and over and over again by people who've gone before us, and there have been many who have been faithful through that. We need to be inspired by that. Sometimes we can look at Jesus and say, but He's Jesus. Well, there's a bunch of people who weren't Jesus who were faithful too, guys. He takes away any excuse we might want to throw, you know, and excuse ourselves. It's real easy when we're hurting to excuse ungodly behavior. We can't do that. We can't do that. In 1 Corinthians 10, look at this. "Every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps His promise. And He will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm." Circle that. God will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, He will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. That's one of those you can just take to the bank, guys. If you'll lean into the Lord, if you lean into your relationship with God, He'll give you the power to overcome 100% of the time. The biggest mistake you can make is to disconnect from your relationship with God when you're experiencing a trial. And that's the temptation. That's the temptation. Is I'm hurting, so I'm going to throw up my hands and I'm going to give up. And if you do that, it's going to make everything worse. It's not going to make anything better. 100% of the time. Number three, and this goes along with what I just said. I can maintain confident expectation as I'm hurting when, number three, I refuse to give in or give up. I refuse to give in or give up. God will get me through my pain. How much percentage of the time? 100%. As long as what? I refuse to give up. He will get me through my pain. What percentage of the time when I do give up? Goose egg. You give up, you're going to fail. But if you will persevere and lean into your relationship with God and make God your priority, make God number one, He's going to get you through no matter what happens around you. 100%. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before, an enormous cloud of witnesses." Look at this. Here's what's on us. When we suffer, "let us drop every weight every extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with endurance the long race set before us. When we are faced with pain, the decision we have to make is, am I going to use my pain as an excuse to sin, or am I going to use my pain as an opportunity to repent of sin? And that doesn't mean, guys, I don't want you to go away thinking that your suffering is a result of your sin. Sometimes it is, but guys, a lot of times it's not. A lot of times the stuff that happens to us, the bad things, the situation, it's not because we've been sinful and God is punishing us. It's because this world is broken and it's messed up, and this is the kind of thing that happens. I was sexually abused when I was a little kid, starting at about around 3, and it went on for a long time. There were some pedophiles in my neighborhood. I didn't ask for that to happen to me. I didn't do anything as a 3 or 4 year old little kid to deserve something like that. Let me tell you what, it messed me up. At a very early age, it made me think I was different. It made me think that I was somehow bad compared to other little kids, that I had stuff to be ashamed of. And so I grew up into a man who felt like a piece of trash, and who felt like I had to hide myself from people, and I couldn't let anybody get close to me, because if they get close to me, they're going to see how messed up I am. And man, when you grow up to be a grown man that feels like a piece of trash, you do things that a piece of trash does. And you don't want to work on yourself, because I'm not trying to be crude, but who tries to polish a turd? If you feel like you're a piece of crap, why are you going to even bother to work on it? What's the point? You don't polish that. You just flush it, right? When you feel about yourself that way, that's how you treat yourself. And you self-sabotage. You kill relationships. You self-medicate through drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex, whatever. Because that's what a piece of trash does, and that's what I am. I didn't ask to think that way. I thought that way because stuff that happened to me. I didn't ask for that. But you want to know what, guys? I had decisions to make. Even though I didn't ask for all that trauma and that junk, I had decisions to make as a grown man. When I had people that were put in my life that helped me see some things and connect some dots, I had sin to repent of. I had sin to repent of. But the trauma didn't occur to me because of sin. But Satan will take anything that can get us off track, and he'll use it as an opportunity to tempt us to sin. My sin was I hated myself. Who do I think I am hating myself? God says I'm made in his image. God says that there's good in me. God says that I'm made in the likeness of his son, and that I need to follow him, and that my life isn't even my own. God says all those things about me. Who did I think I was? Hating me. You know, hatred is a sin. Sometimes when we look in Galatians 5 and we look at that list of sinful behavior and we go across that part that talks about hatred, we just think, well, that's directed at other people. But oftentimes, guys, you can hate yourself and you can derail your entire life and you can make terrible decisions because you think, well, I'm just a piece of trash anyway. And so I'm just going to do what a piece of trash does. And you wreck yourself because you've never repented of the sin of hatred that you have directed at yourself. That was my struggle. But what the Bible says is when we suffer, we've got a decision to make. You can choose to sin. By the way, suffering makes us self-absorbed, depressed. When we're self-absorbed and depressed, do you have your eyes on Jesus? That's when you'll sin the most. That's what it does. That's Satan's strategy, I think, for getting at us. We've got a decision. I also want to express that, guys, we know, and God knows, this is hard. When you're suffering and you're faced with a temptation to sin in the middle of suffering, you are more likely to sin because you're weak. We kind of talked about this concept when we were going through that series on fasting. You put yourself into a weakened state, but then you choose to do right, so it's kind of like lifting spiritual weights. The same principles applies when we're suffering, guys. When we're in the middle of the darkness, if we will intentionally make the decision that we're going to make good decisions, We're going to make godly, righteous decisions. We're going to have a godly, righteous attitude. It's the same principle. It's like lifting weights spiritually, where you come out of that suffering even stronger. But it's hard. Guess who it was hard for in addition to these people we're talking about in Hebrews? Guys, it was hard for Jesus Christ. You remember that scene in the garden where he's praying and he's sweating blood? Hematidrosis, which is that physical condition that's rare, but it's caused by intense psychological stress where the membranes around the sweat glands thin to the point they actually allow blood to pass through and it looks like you're sweating blood. That's a physical sign that he was struggling. He was praying for God to take this away from him. In John, it states it like this: "Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Shall I say, Father, do not let this hour come upon me, but that is why I came, so that I might go through this hour of suffering." And look at the decision he makes. "Father, bring glory to your name." That's what Jesus said in the middle of this. "God, bring glory to yourself through this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this, but I'm going to. And I'm going to keep my eyes on you. God, just bring glory to yourself." It's so important that we not give up. It's so important that we not give up. In Hebrews 10, patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive what he has promised. Have you guys ever been in pain and somebody asks you to just be patient? I remember building a deer stand for my dad with my dad one time. I was helping him. I was about 11. And he was standing up on the legs of the stand, and we were getting all the bottom of it built. And he was up there, and his legs were just burning because he was having to stand at an awkward angle and, like, hold his whole full body weight up. And I wasn't taking – I was kind of taking my time handing him the stuff he needed while he was out there. My dad was pretty good-tempered most of my life. He was not good-tempered that day. And that's one of the few times I can say, you know, he was pretty ungodly, in fact, which wasn't typical of him. He was and is a good man. But why was he acting that way that day? Because he was in pain. He was up there in pain, and he was impatient with me, which is very uncharacteristic. He's a very patient man. But he wasn't patient with me that day because he was in pain. He was in physical pain. What about emotional and psychological and spiritual pain? When we're in the middle of it, patience tends to go out the window. It can very easily. That's the temptation we face. What God tells us, though, man, is, in, you know, you need to endure this patiently. You need to understand that I'm working through this. I'm going to get you through this. Everything is going to be okay. It's going to work out. But just go through it. It's so hard to do, but we can do it, right? It can be done. That's what the scriptures say over and over. It can be done. Number four, here's part of how we do it. I can maintain confident expectation as I'm hurting when, number four, I relentlessly focus on Jesus. I mentioned this earlier, but this is another great temptation we face, guys. When we're hurting, we get self-absorbed. As soon as we start thinking of ourselves, are we thinking about Jesus? Are we thinking about others? No. As soon as we start letting ourselves get self-absorbed, we are no longer focusing on Jesus Christ. You can't do both. It says in Hebrews 12:2, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. This is to those people who were suffering, right? In Hebrews 11:3, he put up with attacks from sinners, so think about him. Then you won't get tired. Then you won't lose hope. Right? They were putting up with attacks from sinners. Jesus put up with attacks from sinners. You do the same. He made it through. He was okay. And you might make a note, guys. Hope. Hope. What is hope? I didn't hear you. What is it? And confident expectation is? Okay. Hope or confident expectation is the byproduct of thinking about and looking to Jesus. Hope is the byproduct of thinking about and looking to Jesus. You want to know what despair is the byproduct of? looking to yourself, when you start focusing on yourself and your problems and what you don't have or what you're going through, and that's where your eyes are going, you'll fall into despair. But guys, even in the midst of suffering, if we can focus on Him and stay focused on Him and be about His mission and be about carrying out His will, God comes alongside us and He gets us through because of hope. We have this confident expectation. I'm going to love God, just like it says in Romans. Everything's going to work out for good because I'm going to intentionally choose to keep loving God despite this painful trial that I'm going through. That's keeping your eyes on Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us because we're absolutely convinced that He's given His life for all of us. This means all died with Him so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for Him, the one who died for us and now lives again. Living a life for Him is the opposite of being self-absorbed. If we can be about Him and His mission and His will and pouring into others, which is what 2 Corinthians 5 is all about, guys, that is the cure for what ails us. That is what will get us through. And that doesn't mean you're going to be happy instantly. That doesn't mean you're going to get over all the suffering instantly. But it does mean you're going to have hope in the midst of it. And God is going to supernaturally come alongside you and give you the power you need to push through. Because it's not on your own. It's God's power working in you. And number five, I can maintain confident expectation as I'm hurting when number five, I remind myself of the payoff. I remind myself of the payoff. And there's the present payoff in the present life. Two payoffs. The present life, Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. That's what the Bible says, guys, is whenever we're going through the worst parts of life, you endure it as discipline. And all of this stuff that I've been saying about patiently enduring and pushing through, when you intentionally make the decision to be righteous despite your circumstances, God does a work in your heart, and it's a sign of spiritual maturity, and it's spiritually lifting weights. Just like prayer and fasting, only it's like prayer and fasting on steroids, depending on what you're going through. You will get so strong through this. And you say, man, I didn't want to be that strong. Well, God says, yeah, but I wanted you to be because I've got plans for you. There's so many other people that you need to help. I need to prepare you. I need for you to go through this faithfully because this person's going to need the hope that you have, and this person's going to need the hope that you have, and this person's going to need the hope that you have. And I love you, and I love them, and I want to use you to reach them. And I'd hate, and I'm weeping with you as you're going through this, but I also see the big picture, and I've got plans for you, my child. It's hard to see, guys, in the middle of it. But that's the truth. He's got blessings in store for this. I can tell you one of the hardest things when I went through, I mentioned that abuse, I went through the counseling and everything for it. And, you know, I had been a Christian for a few years, and I had sort of minimized that stuff as a kid. I'd explained it away and said, that wasn't that big a deal. Then I found out it was. And then when I sat down and started getting counseling, all these other memories started coming back. Guys, there was a lot more that happened to me that I just sort of tried to forget about. But when I took an inventory, it was like, dang, my case was as severe as a lot. You know, a lot of the really bad ones. And when I took an inventory, you know, I had thought God was good. But then when I started assessing how a good God could let the stuff that happened to me happen to a little kid, it kind of messed with my faith. It's like, God's in control. Why didn't he make a tree fall on those dudes? He didn't have to kill them. He could just maim them a little bit where they wasn't able to do that to kids. But he didn't, and that happened to me. How can God be good? And I was sitting at a table, weeping, expressing this to someone who was a little further down the road than me on this. And I was just saying, I don't know if I can love God anymore. And this guy said to me, if you could turn back time, this guy had been abused too. He said, if you could turn back time, if you could go back in time and take it away, would you? I said, yes. Of course I would. What do you mean? And he said, you know what? I wouldn't. He said, you're just starting to deal with this. I dealt with this years ago. I went through the exact same thing that you're going through years ago. I had the exact same doubts, the exact same struggle in my relationship with God, exactly the same, and I was in the same spot. He said, but you know what? I'm 30 years down, and when I think about my abuse now, I don't think about the trauma. I think about the names and the faces of all the people I've been able to help over the years because I was abused. Because God has healed me. Never going to be completely okay, but I'm where I can function and I can have a healthy relationship with God, with my family, with my kids. I have a healthy view of myself. God brought me through that. Wes, he's going to bring you through that. And in that moment, he gave me hope. Why was he able to do that? Because he had gone through it and patiently endured. And so now, when I think about my abuse, I'm getting to the point where I don't just think about the abuse. I think about the names and the faces and the people I've been able to help. And that was horrible. We've got people in here who are dealing with death. We've got people in here who are dealing with marriages that are falling apart. We've got people in here involved in custody battles. We've got people in here who are dealing with guilt from abortions that they've had in the past. We've got people in here who are dealing with all kinds of stuff just in this little room. And it's so easy to throw up your hands and turn inward and give up. Guys, don't do it. God's got a plan for you in this life. He's got a plan for you. He's going to use this crap to help somebody else. Don't give up. But you want to know what else? He's got a plan for you in the next life. And even though the pain may not go away right now, guys, it's going to go away someday. Take it to the bank. Confident expectation. It's going to go away someday. Endure it. And he's going to use it. Real quick, guys, suffering can make me more like Jesus. We've talked about this a lot. Jesus suffered and he suffered well. If you have never heard there's a little book called Don't Waste Your Cancer by John Piper. I don't agree with all of Mr. Piper's theology on certain things. He's a Calvinist. But that is a good little book. If you are ever going through a trial, it's a free PDF online. I would encourage you to read it. Don't Waste Your Cancer by John Piper. He makes such a connection between our suffering and the suffering of Jesus. It's very reassuring. Just like Jesus didn't want to and did it anyway, guys, we can do it too. And we become more Christ-like when we do. Secondly, suffering can teach me to live skillfully. And I've mentioned this over and over. If I can be faithful when I'm hurting, if I can be faithful when I'm weak, it becomes that much easier to be faithful on a normal day. It's like lifting weights. So you learn to live in a godly manner, and it helps you in all other areas of your life. It gives you skills. Thirdly, suffering can give me serenity. Serenity is peace. We don't correlate these things, but the Bible says whenever we encounter hardship, what are we to do? We're to rejoice because God is working in our life. Man, that's counterintuitive. God's going to do a work through this. We can have peace in the middle of it, understanding God is going to do a work through this, and everything's going to work out as long as we lean into Him. And then there's also, guys, the payoff in the life to come. This is where he takes them in this epistle as he's talking about their enduring this suffering, the payoff in the life to come. Second part of 12, verse 2, his example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Guys, that's the good news right there. Jesus is at the right hand of God right now with all the power of God, and he's coming back someday, and he's going to make everything right. 100%, he's going to make everything right. We want to be on his side. And when we are, man, we've got a lot to look forward to. In 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts how long? How long does it last, church?
Forever.
Lasts forever. We got a lot to look forward to, right? And in many ways, guys, this life is a test. All of us are going to go through terrible suffering. It can be so hard to have hope, which what is hope? What is confident expectation? It can be so hard to maintain that when we're going through the darkness. But guys, God will bring you through. One of the things that is so helpful is to have other people involved in your life as well. We planted this church because we believe God wants to connect us with you. We came over here, which by the way, we're a church that plants churches. We've got another team that we're planning to send out in 2020 to Columbia. We plant churches around campus ministries. We're going to plant a church in up there at Mizzou. We've got a team coming together for that. We've got another church in the city, in the Interbelt area. We've got a congregation in Wentzville. There's several of us that are partnering together on this and working together. And so there's a lot of really good things happening. But one of the reasons we plant churches is because statistically, church plants tend to make more contact with new people than churches that have been around a long time. And we believe the heart of God is in connecting with people that need a relationship with Him. And a big part of how He does that is by working through His people to get them together. And so a lot of the hope that we feed off of is from the community, especially when we're hurting, guys, and we get together and we hurt together. God does something powerful in that. If you're here this morning and you're visiting, if you are just checking out the Crossings, we've got a communication card. Actually, we'd like to invite everybody to pull that out. This is a cardstock piece of paper. Members and guests alike, we'd like to invite everybody to pull this out. And just let us know how we can help you. We're not going to harass you. We're not going to spam you with email or junk mail or anything like that. We're not going to come knocking on your door uninvited. But we would like to get to know you and be your friend. Because we really do believe if you're here today, you're here because God has put you with us. The Bible says that God arranges the times and the places for people to be. Because He wants to do a work in their life. He wants people to seek Him. And We believe you're here for a reason. And if there's anything we can do to help you, if there was something that was said this morning that touched a nerve, we talked about some tough stuff this morning. I want you to know, as a church, we have resources to help with a lot of hurts. If there's hurts, trauma from abuse of some kind, from broken families, if you're struggling in your marriage, if you're struggling in your finances, if you're struggling with hope in general, guys, there are people here who will come alongside you, and they're not going to look down on you, they're not going to judge you, but they do want to be your friend, and they want to help. Guys, if you're interested in learning more just about God, and maybe you want to learn more about the Bible, maybe you're just kind of investigating and you have some answers, maybe you don't even really know if you believe in God or believe any of this stuff we're talking about this morning, man, that's okay, that's great, we're glad you're here. Many of us in here were skeptics for a long time. This is not a place where you have to be afraid of asking questions, because we really believe if what we believe is true, questions aren't something to be afraid of. Truth can stand up to questions. And so if you've got questions, if you just want to investigate, mark on your card here that I'd like a personal Bible study, and we'll have some people come and see if they can't get some of those questions answered for you, or at least just show you what we believe about things. And we'd love to do that. We also are a church of small groups here at the Crossings. Everything that we do that's good really is good because of the relationships that people have with one another. And so on Sundays, we have small groups that meet. If you'd like to check a small group out, you're welcome to do that. Just mark on there you'd like more information, and we'll get somebody with you. We've got a lot of other stuff we do throughout the week, guys, a lot of good things to plug into, but I just want you to know, number one, you're in a safe place. Number two, you're in a place where people want a relationship with you, because we really do believe God put you here. And so those cards are a great way for us to just easily connect with you. So please fill it out. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a song after I pray. And during that song, you'll be able to fill that card out. You'll have all the time you need to fill out whatever. And then we're going to sing another song after that, and we're going to pass some baskets. And you can drop your card in that basket. Members are also going to be dropping their contributions in there. But if you're visiting today, man, we don't ask you to give anything. We really just want to give you something. And so, again, I'll pray for us, and then we'll sing a song and give you time to fill that card out. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for this church. I was out of town a little bit this week, and I got to go visit another church, and it was just a reminder of what we have here, honestly. And I'm so glad to be here with these people, and it's good to be part of a healthy congregation. And Father, I want to pray, as we really talked about some tough stuff today. We have people here that are going through it, that are in the middle of things, and several of the things we looked at in Scripture today, I know, touch nerves. Father, I pray that our hearts be aligned with Jesus. Father, I pray that we can make the changes we need to make. God, I pray that we not fall into despair when we go through hard times. It's so easy to do. It's almost natural. But I pray, God, we not do what feels natural in the moment, that we push through and make decisions to put our eyes on you and to do your will and honor you, God, even when it doesn't feel right, because I know there's a blessing in that. Father, as we fill these cards out today, I pray that people will be open just to having connections with folks, and that they'll be able to build trust with people here and be able to make friends with people here and understand we are an imperfect, messed up group of people that we don't look down on others, God. We've been there. And so I just pray that people understand this is a safe place and that they can share and connect. And I pray that a spirit of love and wisdom permeate our congregation here. Father, I pray you bless us as we move out through our week. Bless our small groups that are meeting today. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.